You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of Help! I suck at dating. Dean is pretty sure in Pakistan. You can hear Dawson behind me right now. He's very excited for this episode because we have a wonderful guest who has not met Dawson yet, but that's because she lives in Los Angeles. You know her from the iHeartRadio podcast, Scrubbing In with Tanya and Becca. It is Becca Tilley. Becca, how the hell are you?
How are you? I was so excited to do this with you.
Oh, thank you. I know. I wish Dean was here, but Dean, so I don't know if you know that Dean is backpacking, I think, the mountains in Pakistan.
Yeah, I saw his post last night that was like, if you don't hear from me in 2 weeks, basically like send out a search warrant. So
yeah, I don't know how Kaylin does it, because could you imagine if Haley was like, hey, listen, I'm just going to go in the middle of nowhere and not have any service for 2 weeks. So just for those 2 weeks, just pray that I'm alive.
No, Haley's on tour right now, and I'm already like, well, less about the worry and more about the attention part of it, you know? Like, I can't imagine her just going off the grid. I think I would worry myself sick with anxiety.
Oh, I would always think the worst. I'd wake up every day and be like, oh, he's dead. It's so bad.
Me too.
It's just the worst.
I know.
So Haley's on tour right now. So how do you guys, how long is she on tour for?
So she's on tour till September 23rd or something, like in that area. So about 8 weeks or 6 weeks. Yeah, like a month and a half.
How do you guys do long distance?
Well, you know, when we met, like we met 5 days before she left for her first tour. So that time of our life when we first started dating, all we knew was long distance because she was gone for most of that year in 2018, and then she was like touring Europe. So we adjusted to it at that point, and we were still getting to know each other. But now it's different because we had the pandemic and we've had so much time together and realized that we actually like love being together 24/7. And so it's actually been like an adjustment, mostly for me, because my whole life, I was like, I love being alone. I love sleeping alone. I don't need anybody. And then it's like you meet someone that changes everything and you're like, oh, maybe I'm more needy than I realize, I think.
Do you ever crave moments of being alone?
I do, but like not from Haley. Like Haley's like the only exception. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I socialize a lot, and if we're doing a lot of group things, I'll be like, I need time alone, but I'm not necessarily needing space or time from her. Just mostly like, I just need, because I think when you find someone that you're just like comfortable with in any setting, you're just like, we can just sit in the room and not have to do anything or talk, but just like we're together.
Yeah. So Ashley always phrases it, whenever she's with me, she feels like she's alone, but in the best way possible. Because she never, we never get tired of being around one another. She's one of the first people I've ever met or been around so much in my life that I truly don't get tired of. And I think that's a great sign for any relationship. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got, I'm going to name drop right now, was from Sir Rob Thomas. And he said that, you know, with marriage, you know, he's been married to his wife for a very long time now. And he said that one of the most important advice he gives to anybody who's in a relationship is that this person, whoever you marry or whoever you're with, you will be with every day for the rest of your life. And you will have a conversation with every single day for the rest of your life. Similar to what Dawson's trying to do right now. I'm pretty sure Dawson's trying to have a conversation.
He wants to weigh in on this conversation.
Dawson, a penny for your thoughts. How do you think our relationship goes? It is weird when I think about... you know, it being his father, we were hanging out yesterday and he's already kind of my best friend. And that's cool. I know him so well. But it makes me kind of sad because I think that he's never going to remember, like he'll never remember these moments. He'll never have memories of this time in his life where this is probably one of the most impactful times of my life with him.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. I think about my own parents and how much care and love they put into me when I was a baby and literally couldn't hold my own head up. And it's just something that I've just always taken for granted and have never given a second thought until my adult years when I had a kid.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, like, I think there's every cycle of life where we go through these things, right? Where it's like, I would think about when I moved out to California with my older sister, my brother-in-law. And then I didn't realize how much they had done for me just by letting me like live with them and like giving me that opportunity until I owned my own place. And then my younger sisters came and lived with me. It's like that thing that you don't realize how important and how impactful it was until you are experiencing it yourself. So like, of course, I can't even imagine what it feels like having a child and like the exhaustion and the love and the effort that you're putting into just keeping him happy and fed and alive. And he's just like, I'm a baby. This is what, this is what you have to do.
He just, he'll cry and cry and cry. And then we'll sit him up and he'll smile at us. And then it's like, all right, well, that was all worth it.
So Ashley said, Ashley always talks about how he needs attention like 24/7.
Well, the problem is we give him attention 24/7. So I think he's getting accustomed to it. And whenever we don't give him attention, he's like, well, what the hell is this? I, you know, this is not the way life is supposed to be. So we're in the phase right now where he's had a little bit of a sleep regression for the past month. So he wakes up every like 3 to 4 hours and we're going to have to get to a point where we just let him cry it out.
Yeah.
And we tried doing it last night. It did not work because, you know, he was crying for like 10 straight minutes. And Ashley's like, can't do it. Can't do it. I can't let him cry like this. And so she went up and comforted him. And so we're going to have to ease into that because I, it's hard because you love him so much. We love him so much. We want to make sure that if he's crying or in any discomfort, we take care of him and give him the attention that, you know, he's obviously begging for. But at the same time, I feel like we're doing him a disservice because I want him to be, you know, grow up to be... become an independent kid, independent adult, and someone who can, you know, rely on himself. And I don't know, I get nervous in these formative years that he's just gonna grow up and be like, oh no, that, like, if I cry I get attention. That's the way life works.
Well, I think you have some time before I mean, there's so many, I also can't imagine being a parent right now. There's so many opinions in every direction you turn. Like, you, if you posted about that on Instagram, you would get 1,000 different opinions on what you should do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you just have to do what works, you know. It's like...
you just do like the best
Ashley,
you can.
Like, yeah, and like you tried it last night. 10 minutes is a long time to listen to your baby cry. So, of course, it's like, hey, I can't... I would be the same way. So, I think y'all are doing an amazing job. And I think the fact that he loves your attention and wants your attention is a great thing. And hopefully, he continues to want and love your attention throughout his life. And he doesn't go through... nasty teenager years.
I know, but he definitely is. We were talking about
it. Yeah, he definitely will.
Ashley and I always talk about it. How like one day he's gonna tell us that he hates us and he's not gonna mean it, and we know that he won't mean it. And then there's gonna be times where he doesn't want to hang out with us. The thing was, Ashley was just not that kid. She was the kid that wanted to sit next to her mom on field trips on the bus. She was the kid who always wanted to go hang out with her parents on weekends. So that's troublesome because I certainly loved my parents, but, you know, of course I wanted to, you know, not be around them, or I was embarrassed, or I remember, you know, my dad used to kiss me. I guess this is a weird thing, but like my dad used to kiss me on the lips till I was probably like, I don't know, like 6 or 7, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I remember I pulled up to school, my dad kissed me on the lips, and then we left. And then like my friends were like, oh, it's gross, like so disgusting, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, well, yeah, no, you're right. And then obviously that stopped there. And I don't know. I'm just thinking about the things that I'm going to do to embarrass Dawson. I think we're going to be pretty cool parents, though. I mean, his parents were on TV, so we already have up.
Y'all have the best. I was laying in bed last night thinking about how y'all's story is literally a written rom-com. Like, everything about it. Like, from just the little things. Like, Ashley's personality as a whole is, like, a rom-com to me. And I love it so much because I just think of the potential of a script written about y'all's life. And how has someone not done it yet?
She's so wonderful and yet the biggest pain in the ass. But that's what makes her such a romantic comedy character. Even today, we were hanging things up on the wall. And I swear to God, I hung up a picture that was a quarter. All right. It was like a half inch off from center, but it still looked really good. And I was like, oh, it looks good. And she's just staring at it. And I'm like, Ash, it looks good. And she's like, I don't think I can live with it like that. And I'm like, oh my God, get out. I'm moving it. I'm going to move it a quarter of an inch down. You psycho. So, and then she's like, it's me. It's me. It's not you. It's me. I'm the crazy one. I'm like, I'm aware, but I will move it. I will move it. So anyway, that's what makes her such a good character. But anyway, we were talking about you. We were talking about Haley. So you guys met five days before she went on tour?
Yeah. So we met at her album release party, which was on a Wednesday. And then we like had drinks and hung out and like actually realized we liked each other that weekend. And then she left. And I was like, okay, you know, my mind was like, maybe this was just like a fun weekend. I didn't know her. I didn't know, like, you hear things like the life of a touring artist and you don't assume that they're like ready for like settling down or commitment. So I kind of was like, we'll see what happens. And I mean, we've talked every day since then. So we basically started dating that weekend we hung out for the first time.
So you guys did, like, she ask you out? Did you ask her out? And then my question is, when she left for the 5 days, did you reach out? Did she reach out? How did the conversation keep going? Because I guess a lot of people, it would have probably just ended there. And you guys be like, oh, well, that was a fun few days. And then you would have waited for them to reach out and they would have never reached out. And then it was like that one fling.
I think this is the difference in this relationship because I've always loved like the chase. And with Haley, there was never that guessing game. Like, we just talked. There was never like, who's going to text who first? Like, it was just like, if I wanted to text her, I text her. If she wanted to text me, she text me. If we wanted to talk on FaceTime, we FaceTimed. Like, there was never this like back and forth cat and mouse thing. It just was like so easy from the beginning in the sense of like, we knew that we both liked each other. Aww. And there was never like a guessing game. And I had never experienced that because I was so used to like seeking that game and like thriving on the chase. And it was nice to not, I never even thought about it till someone asked me later on, like, who made the first move. And I was like, I think there was just, it was just a knowing, which was cool.
That's very nice because usually it's not that way.
No, it's very rarely that way.
That's really nice. So did you go visit her when she was on tour?
Yeah. So I went to, I think the first time I visited her, she was in Minneapolis. So like we went to Mall of America, which was really, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have not. I've heard, so I'm a big mall rat. I'm not going to lie. I'm that guy. And I want to go just because it's the biggest mall in America.
It's really cool. I mean, they have like a whole section. It was like a roller coaster and like a whole like little amusement park in there. And Yeah, it was really fun, and it was always fun to go visit her, and that was just our life and what we knew. And then, and so when the pandemic hit and we were together all the time, she loves to work. Like, she is so passionate about what she does, and she, you know, even during the pandemic, it was like, okay, I'm obviously not doing music, so I'm gonna like try and write a script. Like, that's her mindset, where I'm like, I'm just trying to do a puzzle, you know, I'm just trying to get a puzzle done and find some new music. Like, there wasn't, she always loves to work. And so when I realized that we actually loved being around each other was kind of during that time, because we didn't have a choice. And it was like, her being stuck in the house was her worst nightmare. And we made it work. And so after that, I was like, we're pretty good together. I'm excited.
Yeah, the pandemic made or broke a lot of relationships, because that's when you realized, oh, wow, can I be with this person all the time? And you found out pretty quickly. And I'm glad that you found out for the better. That's awesome.
I know. I feel that way. I agree with you. I think a lot of people realize, like, okay, we are in this for the long run, or like, we have some things to talk about.
Yeah, especially with the pandemic, because there's so much stress put on, especially in the beginning. So not only were you forced to live with one another, but you were also forced to really see each other, you know, in the most high stressed of environments where nobody knew what was going on. You had to try to keep working. Nobody was making money. You couldn't go outside. You couldn't be around people. And then, I mean, I remember I was crazy in the beginning. I was the guy washing every single piece of groceries that we got. You know, I was the guy who would make sure that we wouldn't go into the grocery store. We'd get, like, we would go on the app and make sure that they would come out and put the groceries in the trunk. And then I'd go home. We wouldn't bring the bags in. I'd go outside with my gloves and I'd wash every single piece of whatever, you know, popcorn or cereal or whatever the hell we got. And man, looking back, that was so stupid. Like, you find out it didn't even spread that way.
I know, but no one knew. Like, we were just all doing our best, and that was like the most we could do, honestly. So
seriously, and at least pass the time, you know. I was like, all right, I got something to do at least.
I know.
I remember I read a lot too. That was nice. I read a lot during that time. That was fun. I don't read anymore. It's so bad.
Well, Jared, like, literally, what part of your day would you read right now? There's no time.
Because I try to read before I go to bed, but I'm so tired that I don't. And I end up scrolling on my phone for 20 minutes. I'm like, man, that's 20 minutes I could be reading a book and feel better about myself, instead of just scrolling through Instagram or TikTok and then just feeling worse about myself because I'm like, man, I'm a piece of shit.
Why do we do it? It's like we all literally have these same conversations of wishing we didn't do the doom scroll. Why do we all... I do it right before I go to bed, and I'm always like, I don't know why I had trouble sleeping. I couldn't go to sleep. And it's like, oh yeah, I sat there and scrolled and watched other people's lives for however many hours without even realizing.
And now I'm watching fails on YouTube. I've gotten into that. It's so pathetic. It's so pathetic.
I love those, though.
They're the best. Oh my God, they're the best. They're so awesome. Whether it be the guy who's like, it's just so stupid. Anyway.
Continue. I was just gonna say, like, at least that's mindless, and it's just kind of like something to just end the day with. I will be like on TikTok, and it'll be talking about like deep religious trauma or something that's like not peaceful before I go to sleep.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how long have you and Haley been together now?
We've been together for a little over 4 years.
Wow, that's crazy. And so you obviously just came out in a public relationship, was it 5 months ago, just about?
It was in May. So
May.
However many times.
Oh, my God, not
however
even.
However much time. Like, what, 3 months ago?
So how does it feel now that you're in a public relationship? Do you feel a sense of relief? Do you feel an added stress?
I definitely feel a sense of relief. I never realized, because, like, we were public in the sense that everyone knew about, you know, everyone knew about us. Like, if when we came to Ben's wedding, Haley came with me. Yeah. Like,
you didn't keep secrets.
It's not like we were a secret. We just were not on social media. And I never thought that us being public on social media would give me relief, because I felt like I lived my life in real life so much. But it did. It made me feel so much lighter, and I never expected to have that feeling. And the stress part of it is, I think being together for 4 years, I don't really feel the stress as much, because we got to do it on our own timeline. And so even still, it's like, yeah, people know about us, but it's still like up to us how much we post. And I think that's what makes me feel secure and like takes the stress part away of it.
Was there ever a conversation before that you guys, before, you know, obviously you were living your lives, but you didn't post on social, and you know, whether people think it's for the better or worse, social media has become such an important part of not only our lives, but relationships, you know, Facebook mm-hmm. status, or, you know, posting your significant other on Instagram so everybody knows that you're in a relationship. You know, we talked about on the podcast before about it almost becomes awkward sometimes when people don't post about their significant others, because then it asks questions like, well, why won't you post about me? You know, mm-hmm. is there a reason why are you afraid to post about me? Is there something else going on? So was there any of that? Like, did you ever feel this pressure? Like, man, I don't want Haley to feel like I don't love her, you know, so I want to post about her.
I think she understood where I was coming from, in the sense that she was the first woman I had ever been in a relationship with. And I also came from a very hetero world of being on The Bachelor and having a huge following from The Bachelor, and also, like, you know, navigating all the things that I was going through personally, I think she was very understanding of my situation. We definitely had conversations where she was like, I just, you know, I was in the closet for so long and I'm really comfortable being who I am. And like, I'm very much out and celebrated for who I am. So I always tried to make sure she knew that it was private and not secret, because I never wanted her to feel like a secret or feel like I was ashamed. I just wanted it to be like, hey, I'm navigating this for the first time. I love you so much. If we ever like met people, I was pretty much like, this is my girlfriend. I tried my very best to never say like, this is my friend, you know? And I was just trying to navigate it, and she was really understanding, but we definitely had conversations where that was, you know, hard, because she is celebrated for who she is and has been and has already gone through this process of like coming out and the fear of that. And then I was kind of behind in this sense, navigating it for the first time. So there were definitely conversations, but we always came to an agreement of like, it doesn't matter what is posted on social media. And sometimes, like, honestly, when you're public, or when you are public on social media, there's that pressure when you don't post together for a while. If it's like not even intentional, or you're just like, and you know, I'm not seeing Haley for a few months, so we're not going to be together. If people are going to be like, you haven't posted with her in a while, what does that mean? It like brings on those questions. Mm-hmm. So it kind of adds to it on that other side as well.
Yeah, it's a weird world. I think Ashley and I are kind of lucky to extent that, I think I'm lucky that Ashley's just so open and honest about everything.
Yeah.
That I think I've kind of given up. I remember when her and I first got together, I would be the person a little bit more reserved. Should we post things? Should we do, you know, ads together? It's just kind of, you know, I don't want people thinking that we're just in this for money, or this is a publicity stunt. And, you know, she's truly the one who just doesn't give a crap and is like, so we're going to detriment our future because we care about what people think about us. I'm like, yeah, I guess when you put it that way, that makes a lot of sense. Like,
it's so true. I don't even remember what I was thinking about, but I was, what my example was, but I was thinking about how, why we choose not to do certain things. I was watching this couple at the beach the other day, and they were just having the best time. Like, they did not care who was watching them. They were like in the water, like splashing each other. They were just like so focused in on that moment with each other. And I was like, humans are so drawn to emotion. Like, we're so drawn to joy and sadness and anger. Like, we're so invested in emotion. And I feel like, I don't know if it's the social media age or whatever, but there's always this need, or like, people feel like they need to like look a certain way or like be cool. And I think with, I was thinking, if you ever choose not to do something, make sure it's for yourself and not because of what other people think, because like in the grand scheme of life, you get one shot. So like, you're not going to do something that you really want to do because you're scared of what someone's going to think. It's so stupid if you like really like see the spectrum of, you know, how short we have here and like what we don't do or do based on what other people think. And I've always loved Ashley for that, because she's just like, I don't care.
I know.
Say what you want.
It was, you know, I've always been attracted to people like that. And you know, I've always been envious of people who can do that, because for a long time in my life I was unable to do that. I was unable to really put myself out there. You know, I'd put myself out there to a certain extent, obviously. You know, I mean, I went in the freaking Bachelor, for Christ's sakes. But, you know, it was always with a sense of reservation. It was always a sense of like holding certain parts of me back, because I was always scared that people would kind of figure out that, oh, okay, he's not as put together or cool as we thought he might be. And I thought that by holding myself back and not doing certain things or putting myself in vulnerable situations would make me, I don't know, feel better about myself. But in truth, it was the complete opposite, because whenever I would see or be with people or be friends with people who would just do, you know, thing, not whatever they wanted to do, but, you know, like, hey, let's go. It would be like, hey, let's fly kites in the park. I remember that one time. It was a friend of mine years ago, and she's just always so out there, and she's great. and she's married with kids now. But I just remember she was like, let's go fly kites in the park. And I was like, well, I don't do that. Like, that's not, even though in my mind, I was like, I would love to
that
do that.
That's fun. Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not doing that. No way. And then we ended up doing it. And I was like, wow, that was so much fun. I should be doing this more often. But then Ashley has really brought out that side of me, you know, tenfold, where now I just feel that, you know, a lot of times in stressful situations, whether it be about work or Dawson or the house or money, financials or anything like that, like, you know what? I'm not dead. You know, and that's better than what a lot of people can say, unfortunately. You know, yeah. We're here, you know, luckily, you know, I still get to have times with my family. We have a healthy kid. I love my wife. You know, we have a roof over our head and I'm breathing. That's more than what a lot of people could say. So that centers me a lot, similar to like what you were talking about, those two people in the water, where it's just like you're in the ocean and you're with somebody you want to be with. And life is just a collection of moments. That's what I've kind of figured out over about life, is that, I don't know if I figured it out. I don't have figured out a lot of things, but what I think life is just like these collection of moments that add up to, you know, becoming a life. And so, you know, we just try to make up as many of those moments as possible. This got really philosophical, didn't it? Damn.
Yeah, it got deep.
Got deep.
It got really deep.
God damn. I want to continue getting deep though. We have a few more minutes. So, what are your thoughts? Do you think that you and Haley will get married one day?
I think we're both like, I think we both know we want to be with each other. I always thought of myself as being like super traditional, but the more I think I'm allowing myself to have my own opinion on things and like figure things out for myself. I just don't know. Like, I've never been someone who like envisioned myself as a bride, you know, like I don't relate to the like movies of like, I always dreamed of this as a little girl. I'm not like that at all. And I think Haley is, I think she always hoped for the traditional things because she thought she would never be able to have them, you know, as a kid, like knowing she was gay and then being like, seeing what the world looked like for gay people. I don't think she ever thought like, oh, I could have the traditional things. But I think we're both in the same page right now where we like see a future together. But I don't know if we're like, if we'll do like a traditional marriage. I don't know. I think right now we're like just happy to be public on public, have our relationship public.
No, totally. One step at a time.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wish Dean was here because Dean has always talked about how marriage is important to Kaylin, so he'll marry Kaylin because of how much it means to her.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever get into a point where you would possibly propose to Haley because you know how important it is to her, if it is that important?
Yeah, I feel like if we ever had a conversation and she was like, this is, you know, like really important or make it or break it for me, I would totally do that. I'm not like, oh, you... I'm not against it at all.
Yeah.
I just am like,
it's just
more,
not something for you.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe if we got to have a party and like celebrate and have all of our friends there and made like a commitment to each other, I think that's beautiful. Like, I think there's so much beauty in tradition, but, in marriage, but I think we're both kind of on, it's nice because right now we're on the same page, but if that pressure ever came where it was like, hey, this is something that I realize I really want and it's really important to me, I would never be like, I'm not going to give that to you or, you know.
No, totally.
Selfish about it.
So yeah. Now that you've been together with Haley for 4 years, what do you think you suck at dating most?
Oh, well, I've learned a lot about what I suck at dating. I'm working on it. I'm like, you know.
Well, we're all working on it.
Therapy and stuff, but I have a hard time communicating my needs. Like, I've always, like, this is every relationship, friendships, everything, where I just do what everyone else needs from me, and I am like, I'm fine, I don't need anything, and then I get to a point where I feel like I haven't been, thought of or considered, and so then I'm like, I do everything for everybody, and no one does anything
for
me.
And
so I think communicating my needs has been, like, the most obvious thing, one of the things I suck at dating.
I relate to that a lot. Ashley has yelled at me many times for being unable to communicate what I want or what I need. There'll be many times where she can tell something's wrong with me and I'm like, I'm fine. And she's like, just tell me. And then I will tell her and then I'll feel better.
Yeah.
And then she's like, isn't that better just to say what's bothering you? But the problem becomes now I'm starting to cross that line where I feel like I'm complaining too much. Not to Ashley, but to people who are more like me, like my parents, because I've had so many moments in the past where like my parents, they'll be like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. And that's just like, it's not, it sounds so bad because it sounds so surface level, and it's not meant to be like that. But like, now they'll be like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm not that good. And they'll be like, oh, yeah. What's wrong? They almost won't know how to deal with it. And I'm like, oh, I'm so used to dealing with Ashley, who's just like tells it how it is. And then so that's like a boundary that I'm getting with as Ashley's combing her hair in the background. We did have some hot topics that we didn't even like have time to go over. Becca, you're so wonderful. You're so good at this. You should really host your own podcast one day. So, I guess let's get into one here. We have a couple hot topics. So, Lori Harvey, who's Steve Harvey's daughter, shared her dating green flags and red flags after Michael B. Jordan split. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know they ever dated, but she's 25. She's dated. I don't know. Is that like a thing? Should I have known that Steve Harvey's daughter?
They were just like, I don't. Well, I don't think I realized that was Steve Harvey's daughter. That's the thing that I'm.
Isn't it? Am I wrong on this? Am I just spreading fake news?
You might be, but they were so beautiful together. But I'm curious to hear her red flags and green flags of dating.
Yeah, that's her daughter, Lori Harvey. Michael B. Jordan, dude. Michael B. Jordan's a stud. I'm not gonna lie, I love Michael B. Jordan. Oh yeah, you're right, Jared. Somebody just DM'd me. Perfect, love it. Yeah, I love Creed. So you know that's just always a good one.
I love those movies.
So good, so good. So Lori Harvey says that she's dated enough to know who and what she wants in a partner. Now, recently she opened up about more of the telltale signs that she looks for in a partner, including her green flags, which are good, red flags, which are bad. So these are her green flags. She said, "I would just say transparency, openness, and communication." I mean, duh. like, people, it is, I mean, I guess it's a cliche for a reason, but like the amount of times I've heard communication is the most important thing in a relationship, and they're right. They're 100% right. Actually, you were talking about it earlier about your communication with Haley, and I was thinking in my mind about how well you guys have communicated, specifically with before you guys posted about how, hey, listen, I'm not hiding anything. I'm just doing it on my own time. I love you more than anything. You're so important to me. That's extremely well done of you both. It is so fascinating how communication's so tough. Why is it so hard to like tell people how you feel?
Because we're taught to not need anything. Like we're taught to like, well, I feel like my life, I grew up in a very like Christian based world, and it was like you put everyone above yourself, so like your needs are less than anyone else's. So when you think like that, you think like you're needing something is you being selfish when you ask for it, when it's just like a basic need, especially in a relationship. It's like that's, you know, your partnership. It's not like a one-sided thing where one person's doing everything for the other. And so I was just never taught that it was okay to have those needs. Subconsciously, like no one was ever like, you're not allowed to have needs. It was just like based on what I was taught, it felt like my needs were me being selfish.
Yeah, it's weird. I see it more in guys, if I'm being honest, than women, in my own personal experience of my friends, because I have so many guys that, you know, well, that I play sports with, and they're like, you know, try to be big macho men, and they're fine. They're, you know, everything's fine. And it's like I see them in their relationships, and there's so many times when they're communicating with their significant others, and like you could tell that something's wrong, but like he won't say anything, and you could tell that they're just getting defensive because they're both getting pissed off because they both have like thoughts in their mind that they're just refusing to address. And I guess maybe it's from my time on Bachelor, Bachelorette, and then also being with Ashley. It's like, bro, just like it's okay to be like, yeah, I want to ride a horse. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, just say what you want to say or do, you know, just express what you want to do and work towards what's better for your relationship instead of like constantly going through this cycle of like not actually saying what you want to say and then just becoming angry and defensive over things and then getting into fights. And then like, it's just like this constant cycle. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So she goes on. She also says that she can appreciate people who are trying to beat around the bush or act like they want something that maybe they really don't. I don't know why that she can appreciate that. Trying to beat around the bush or act like they want something that maybe they really don't. Yeah, but that's definitely, I don't know if I'd port that as a green flag. Like, don't beat around the bush. Just tell me.
Yeah. Is she saying like she understands when people are trying to be gentle at expressing like or communicating? Like she understands they're trying to be gentle and like beat around the bush, but just was there like a sentence after that? Like
no, it goes right into the red flags after that. Oh. I'm assuming that she means like, you know, handle things with grace or trying to, you know, do whatever, like it's the sandwich effect where it's like you say something good, then you say something bad, and then you say something good again. Yeah. whenever I think of that, though, I think of the first person I think of all the time is Nick Viall, because that guy has, and I love that man more than anything. We always talk about this. I really do. But it's so funny how that guy just is like, Yeah, I'm just going to say how it is. Even if it hurts your feelings, even if it makes you cry, I'm so direct in what I'm saying. Yeah. And I've always appreciated it for him, even though at moments I'm like, bro, just like tell me that things are fine. Just lie to me. Please lie to me. For the love of God.
Well, as we know, he's not always right, because he did tell Ashley, like, it's never going to happen.
I know, yeah. That was one of his biggest flubs.
Straightforward moments, yeah.
Yes. And then on the red flags, on the other hand, she said when there's too much communication between the person she's dating and their ex, I mean, that's a huge red flag. Have you ever been in a situation where your person you're with, granted, you're in Bachelor, so that's Bachelor excluded. Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been with someone where they're kind of bringing up their ex, or they're still friends with their ex, but it's like this weird friendship?
I haven't, but I would not do well with that. It wouldn't be comfortable for me.
Yeah, especially, you know, there's so many times where people in this, they'll call or they'll email us and they'll say, oh, you could be friends with an ex. And I'm like, it's so rare. I'm not saying you can, but like, I know for a fact I was friends with Ashley. We weren't technically exes and we were truly just friends, but it was such a toxic, it was a toxic friendship because it was ruining any chance we had with other relationships. And then obviously we were both doing that intentionally, maybe a little subconsciously, but most of the time probably on the forefront because we knew we wanted to be with each other. And I was just an idiot and refusing to admit it. Things that I've talked about on this podcast before, refusing to admit what I really wanted. I would not want to be with a person that had the friendship that I had with Ashley. I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't be. I just like would, I, even if I tried to act like I was cool, I would get so resentful and like upset about it that I wouldn't be able to like actually have a healthy relationship with my partner, because I would always be thinking about, why are you so close with them when you have me? Like, why are you even dabbling in that?
Yeah. Is there a void in our relationship that they're supplying?
You're seeking. Yeah.
Because I know I'll probably get DMs being like, oh, this is ridiculous. Of course, I've been friends with my ex for years. And I'm like, okay, great. I wish you nothing but the best. I truly do. But I just think, you know, you've had a relationship with this person. You've been intimate with this person, most likely, even if it's just kissing or like hugging or cuddling, like it's very intimate moments, that it's just like when you're with an ex, whether you like, it's just like so easy to fall back into that, that I would, it's not that I don't trust you, but like we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. So if you put yourself in a scenario where it just takes one moment of a lapse for you to screw things up, like, I'm sorry, that will be in the back of my head.
I'm like friendly with Robert because our relationship ended on really good terms, and I could never go and just like hang out with Robert, you know? Like, I just know the boundary of respect for Haley, and, you know, she knows the same for me. And I think that we're friendly, like if we see each other, if, you know, if he has a company that he's like invited me to things, and it's like, if I will tell Haley and make sure she's okay with it, like I just don't cross those boundaries. So I think you can be friends or friendly with an ex, but like having like a close, intimate friendship with an ex is just, I agree. You're like setting yourself up
for something bad to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also agree that not every ex is made the same. So we'll finish up this article very quickly, and then we do have to wrap things up. So of course she goes on, if you're too close to an ex, that's a red flag. She said, I don't want y'all to have beef with one another in terms of like you and your ex. That obviously makes it get messy, but too much communication just makes her feel uncomfortable. So those are Lori Harvey's green flags and red flags. Very sad that her and Michael B. Jordan did not make it. Who knows, though? You know? You never know.
Well, you know, you found out they were together and broken up at the same time, so.
Yeah, so, like, legitimately, they could get back together tomorrow, and it would probably be the same for me. Well, Becca, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I really appreciate it. You are wonderful. Everybody who's listening to Help, I Suck at Dating, you probably already listened to Scrubbing In, but if you don't, which you probably do because they get way more listeners than us. Listen to Scrubbing In on the iHeartRadio podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, it's her and Tanya. And then make sure, Becca, I think you're sticking around for Thursday's podcast, which will be the phone calls. So we have a couple callers coming in. We usually do emails, but we've switched over to callers. It's nice having that interaction. So thank you for sticking around to that. And make sure everybody tune in on Thursday. Well, hopefully we just suck a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.